From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, the Vatican Observatory, the search for wormwood. This is a show we've been wanting to do for a very long time. I'm looking forward to this. But first, in Maryland, this is an absolutely incredible story. If you are a parent with a child and you just don't want to immunize your child, you just don't want these vaccinations, listen to this story. The parents of more than 2,300 Prince George's County students who failed to get needed vaccinations could face fines of $50 a day and up to 10 days in jail if their children do not meet the state's immunization requirements. The threat of legal action is the last resort after months in which Prince George's has struggled to get its 131,000 students immunized for chickenpox and hepatitis B, as mandated by the state. More than 2,300 students have not been immunized and have been barred from attending schools almost 2 months after September 20th deadline for meeting the requirement. We're going to do a program on this and the fact that governments can force you to give your children immunizations. And we're going to find out, too, what are the merits of some of these vaccines. I wonder who's behind the push, by the way. You might find that big pharmaceutical companies are pushing some of these school districts to push to get these vaccinations done. The U.S. government said the number of Americans who went hungry in 2006 was about the same as 2005. They don't seem to be concerned about that, 35 million people. But food advocacy groups said something needs to be done fast. In this number of 35 million people who went hungry last year, nearly 13 million of them were children. Meanwhile, House Democrats pushing through a $50 billion bill for the Iraq War that would require President Bush to start bringing troops home in coming weeks with a goal of ending combat by December of 2008. The legislation was largely a symbolic jab at Mr. Bush, who already has begun reducing force levels, but opposes a congressionally mandated timetable on the war. And while the measure was unlikely to pass in the Senate, let alone overcome a presidential veto, Democrats said they wanted voters to know they weren't giving up. Well, he's at it again. Despite growing international pressure, Pakistan's President General Pervez Musharraf gave no indication that he will lift his emergency declaration before upcoming parliamentary elections, telling reporters, "I don't take any ultimatums from anyone." Musharraf is under pressure from the British Commonwealth and the United States to lift the emergency order by November 22nd. The U.S. armed forces are virtually powerless to prevent Pakistan's nuclear arsenal from falling into Islamic hands if the political crisis in Islamabad spins out of control, according to analysts. Instead, they say Washington can do little but help to resolve the crisis and preserve its strong ties with Pakistan's pro-Western military elite, whether or not General Musharraf stays in power. It would be an incredibly ugly scenario, says the head of one of our U.S. government policies. He said for U.S. forces to try to find and secure the nuclear sites in the event of an extreme Islamic takeover, because we lack the intelligence needed to do so in such a large country, talking about surveillance intelligence. I get a kick out of Hugo Chavez, the president of Venezuela. Listen to this one now. He's making a speech over the weekend. And I guess some of the other leaders of various countries all over the world were getting a little tired of his rhetoric. So the king of Spain, Juan Carlos, who, by the way, owns the road that is going to be going through the United States, kind of, you know, leaned over and said, "Why don't you just shut up?" Chavez isn't happy about that. Now he's thinking of shutting down investments in Venezuela. A major earthquake hit Chile on Wednesday, 7.7 earthquake, Richter scale. It was a big one. People were terrified, collapsed buildings, residents confused, running on the streets. In Missouri, police made a very peculiar drug bust this week when they caught a man with a toad that he allegedly used to get high. This kind of toad apparently gives off some kind of toxicity, and the man was licking the skin of the toad in order to get high. Romania's Magnet Man is moving into medicine after claiming his powers can heal. This guy has an ability when he just walks around objects. They don't have to be metal. They cling to him. They stick to him. So they've given him the name Magnet Man, but he's been healing people now. And apparently this is a gift he has had since childhood. Small rocky planets that could resemble the Earth or Mars may be forming around a star in the Pleiades star system, astronomers are reporting. One of the stars in the cluster, also known as the Seven Sisters, is surrounded by an extraordinary number of hot dust particles that could build blocks of planets. Another amazing story, of course. Billy Meyer has always said that in that star system, the Pleiades, that he believes that we're being visited there. As a matter of fact, Academy Award-winning actress and author Shirley MacLaine writes about the star system, about Billy Meyer. That's just one of the things she writes in her book, Saging While Aging. We're going to talk with Shirley about this and other aspects of her life in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Shirley MacLaine has been nominated for 6 Academy Awards, won the Oscar for Best Actress in 1984, great movie, Terms of Endearment, and has appeared in more than 50 films, has won 3 Emmy Awards, 10 Golden Globe Awards, author of 10 international bestsellers. Her latest work, Saging While Aging. She lives in Malibu, California, Santa Fe, New Mexico, and here she is. Hi, Shirley. Welcome.
Hey, how are you? Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Now, you didn't get burned out in Malibu, did you?
Well, I tell you, I went to Canada to make a film, and I got down the Pacific Coast Highway 20 minutes before it closed.
Oh.
It was something. I could not see 3 feet in front of my car. It was outrageous. But I've been through like 12 fires in Malibu, so I said that they ought to change the area code out here to 911.
I tell you, you've been through a lot. You know, when I was reading your book, Saging While Aging, mm-hmm. I didn't know that you knew so many people who have been not only influential, but, you know, kind of in the dark shadows. It's a fascinating story, but an incredible life. How did this all happen for you?
You just have to live a long time. You just have to be old. You know, I do things. I go around the world. I travel. I have different artistic. I'm curious. So whenever a person is curious and lives up to the level of their curiosity, they meet people and have experiences.
Sure, there's a couple facets of your life that I'm really interested in, and that is, of course, you know, your growth in the Hollywood area, but your growth in spirituality, which this program is devoted to, and mm-hmm. the mysteries and the unusual things. Were you always interested in consciousness, possibility of life after death, extraterrestrial life as well?
A couple of things. I think I had a natural inclination towards mysticism. Could come from my father, who had a doctorate in psychology and philosophy at Johns Hopkins. Mother was a lover of nature, Canadian, loved nature and really dwelled on it as though it was speaking to her. So that was my interest in consciousness. Also, you know, I've been a performer, a creator of characters, first in the dance world and everything on Broadway, and then out here. Well, that involves consciousness and creating your own reality. So I was used to the exploration of what reality meant. And then in 1952, I was about 18, and a squadron of UFOs buzzed the Capitol and the White House in Washington, D.C., and I lived in Arlington, Virginia, right across the river.
Okay.
And I marked it down in my calendar, and I remember General Stamford getting on the air and saying, "We don't know what they are, they're not ours, and they're not Russian." So that sparked my interest very early in my late teens, and I guess I just melded them all together and said, "I'm interested in the real new perception of reality."
That episode, that UFO flap over the White House in the Capitol and in that entire region back in 52, was so dramatic, Shirley, that I, too, later on in my life, got involved in studying UFOs, primarily because of that case as well, the Barney and Betty Hill abduction case, too. But it was an incredible story, and it also showed us how helpless we are because there's nothing we could do.
Well, that's true. What we could have done was recognize them and invite them in. I don't really know what went on in the high levels of intelligence and the government from then on. I remember we had the Roswell case in 47, and yeah. What they did with all that info, you have to recourse those books, and I've got it all in my new book. It's kind of interesting that... they put it under the desk of foreign technology so that nobody would be sparked by curiosity. But these things have been going on for so long. I remember reading about Ezekiel in the Bible. So what are we talking about here?
Your book really popped up when people started quoting the fact that the Democratic presidential candidate, Dennis Kucinich, who's a friend of yours, cited a UFO. And, a couple other politicians, President Carter saw one. President Reagan has always talked during his life about the possibility of life out there. Mm-hmm. A lot of people started to wake up after they heard about this.
I was fascinated by the synchronicity of that. What possessed Tim Russert to ask Dennis that question? He must have gotten 1,000 emails. And I thought, well, somebody up there likes me. And then I wondered with bated breath, will Dennis admit that he had seen it? And he said, yes, he's a wonderful friend. By the way, the only one up there is telling the truth. I keep saying I want now Wolf Blitzer to ask Governor Richardson. He's the governor of extraterrestrials
right.
in New Mexico. And let's see what he says, because that guy did a foreword to one of the Roswell books, and he also participated in, I think, one or two documentaries on UFOs. So let's see if we can't bring it out more in the open so that we can start talking not about whether they exist or not, but about the spirituality they have to teach us.
Hey, Shirley, we just lost Joey Bishop. They said the last of the Rat Pack. But I've always heard your name mentioned as being part of that group. Well, you set the record straight. What are you?
Am I, or was
or
I?
Was, were you?
Sure. I was, it all started when we were making Some Came Running in, some state. And I was the only woman they would let into their house. They rented a house. And I don't know, I used to go in and make them cannolis and clean up their rooms and stuff. I think they liked my talent. And never any hanky-panky there, none. They were not my type except for the humor. I just loved their humor. I
right.
had a crush on Dean, but nothing ever happened. His wife, Deanie, was always around. I do miss them. I really do miss them. And I think that way, that kind of thing won't come again.
I went to a restaurant here in Los Angeles up the street. And I'll just say it. It's called Carmine's. It's up there in Santa Monica.
Sure.
And the fellow who's running it right now said, here's the spot where Dean Martin used to sit almost every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of neat to have that feeling out here.
I used to go with Dean and his agent, who was my agent, Mort Viner. We used to hang out a lot. And whenever Dean would go to Carmine's, Dean would say, come over, we're going to try on some new material. So then when I went on the stage, I started having dinner, and I would try on my new material. They loved doing material with me as a witness because I laughed so much at everything. I don't know how they could figure I was discerning at all, because everything they did, I laughed at.
You know, what I really appreciate about you, Shirley, is so many people who have had a very successful life like you have had,
mm-hmm.
Don't really like to go public about their views of spirituality or life after death or what may be within the universe or other dimensions. You don't hold back at all.
Well, you know what I feel about that? I have had such a magical life. I felt I've had a kind of an angel on my shoulder. I've recognized that angel, and I want to give back to that angel. I want to tell regular humans that they have angels on their shoulders and that they can be guided and helped, particularly now, because look at the trouble we're in. It's very difficult to maintain a balance without getting depressed, and I refuse to turn off the news. I want to know what's happening. Well, at the same time, then, I have to evaluate it in a balanced way. And so I want to share what I have learned by being able to afford to go around the world many times and meet anybody I wanted and learn from all these different cultures and religions and points of view and actual systems of reality. I want to share what I've learned because I've been so lucky and privileged to have such a magical life. That's the way I've sort of looked at it all.
Well, and you also know that this planet is being divided between the haves and the have-nots, where those people in charge are getting greedier for power, getting greedier for more wealth, and I don't know how much more wealth you have to have. I mean, you said something pretty fascinating in your book in terms of, you know, the obsession with people who have wealth, why they have to keep buying more, bigger houses, more cars. You know, why can't they just be simple about what they have? And I see this divide, Shirley, is getting to the point where it's got to stop and come back in, or we're going to have a planetary problem.
Yeah, I think we already do. But I think everyone wants more because they're frightened, and we've been so schooled on materialism. That is really basically our God, is materialism. That makes us feel better, or certainly equal to prayer or to meditation. I would say that materialism is what we should be warning ourselves against. Now, the fact that we are divided between the haves and the have-nots, I think the real problem might be in the middle, where people are not the ones who are in the middle, who have just enough, but have to eke out their existence through hard work and unhappiness and quiet lives of desperation. That might be the real problem, because those who are very poor sometimes have a high, high level of spirituality. And those who are very wealthy, if they can get past the greed, they can turn into such benefactors for the rest of humanity. I mean, look at Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and some of those people. The ones in the middle are the ones I'm worried about. And that's my identification, because I'm a middle-class person. I was born as a middle-class person, never with more than $300 in the bank, in the family treasury, so to speak. So I identify with them, and that's who I want to help.
Good for you. Well, you know, you understand them, and you begin to appreciate the fact that the middle class has been eroding away, and it's got to be fixed. And we're going to take a break pretty soon, Shirley, but I want to talk about Billy Meyer, that case of the fellow in Switzerland. We've talked about him on the program before. You know him.
I spent a few weeks with him. I found it very very enlightening, and also knew someone else who had contact with Semyasi.
All right. Shirley's website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com, and her work, her latest one, is Saging While Aging, and we'll ask her about that title, too. And those of you, of course, who have listened about the use of sage and things, you're going to understand what that title means. But we will be back in a moment. And just go to her website if you haven't had an opportunity. Shirley also does her own independent expression radio show on Sundays once a week and has great guests. We have shared guests. Greg Braden and others like that have been on her program. They've been on Coast to Coast as well. Shirley, you're a remarkable person.
Well, thank you, my dear. How are you?
Looking forward to this. We're going to take some phone calls, too, from listeners and probably your fan base as well. How's your brother Warren doing? Everything
my
well there?
Fine. I'm going to go over to the house on Thanksgiving.
That's good.
Well, and see all the kids.
Nothing like family. I just left St. Louis. I go back and forth between L.A. and St. Louis. My family's back in St. Louis. I'm going to miss them at Thanksgiving because I had to get back here, but I'm going to go back there soon. But I'm going to put them on the air with me Thanksgiving night for a little bit.
Oh, that's a terrific idea.
Yeah, we'll have some fun doing that.
That'll keep them sober.
Yeah, absolutely. And me, too. Stay with us. Shirley MacLaine is our special guest tonight. And again, get up to her website. Take a look at some of the things she has done in her absolutely incredible career. Nominated for 6 Academy Awards, winning the Oscar Best Actress 1984 for Terms of Endearment. I'm sure many of you have seen that movie. I'm George Norrie. Back in a moment. We'll take phone calls as well. We'll give you the numbers right here on Coast to Coast AM. We'll take your calls with Shirley MacLaine in just a moment. You know, we've got many chat rooms that listen and chat while they're listening to Coast AM. Of course, like the NighthawkZone.com folks. But tonight is the 3rd anniversary party going on at the ImaginativeWorlds.com group. And so happy anniversary to all you folks over there. Delphine, you especially, for letting me know about your 3rd anniversary. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Shirley, saging while aging. Now, I think I know what saging means, but I better ask you.
Well, to become a sage, hopefully, is to find the spirit in myself. When you sage, you become wiser. Also, living in New Mexico, I have shaman friends, and whenever there's negative energy in a room or in a house, you burn the sage and you sage the room. So I'm saging myself.
Have you ever seen a ghost?
Oh, sure. You know, they run around and flip out of the corner of your eye.
Oh, sure.
I've had ghosts at my place in New Mexico who turn the lights on and off. They open and close the window. I don't think they're ghosts. I think they're just entities with no bodies anymore. I don't know what you mean by ghost, you know.
You know, and they have probably crossed over from other dimensions. I'm beginning to think that there's something going on with multiverses or extra dimensions, and they seem to be coming through portals somehow.
Yeah, I think they do, and I think that a lot of this is somehow involved very intricately and with real important synchronicity in karma. I mean, for example, the people that I had who were still arguing with each other, I had to sit them down, these invisible entities, and say, look, stop with your opening and shutting doors and keeping me awake at night. I know you're there. You don't have to prove it to me. But now I'm the custodian of this land, and go on, move on. And they did.
Shirley, have you ever been around psychic vampires, people that just suck your energy and you've got to crawl to get away from them?
George, I live in Hollywood. Well, I don't live in Hollywood anymore, but no, I'm used to that.
You're spending a lot of time in New Mexico now.
Yeah, I live permanently in New Mexico. I moved there in 1991, so that's a breath of fresh air. I wish more people would think about getting out of the mix of the business and become more naturally involved.
Now, you're still doing films, though.
Oh,
right?
Sure.
Of course. Let's take some calls. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi, Shirley. This is Carolyn Claremont. As a sister, having a sister who's a screenwriter, you may get your wish about people leaving the fray if the strike keeps up.
Yeah.
So, but all that aside, I was really grabbed to hear you refer to Donnie Mack on Larry King's on CNN. And I wonder, there has been a series of allusions I have come upon online, Ann Streber as one source, that he believed that aliens, spirits, angels were all one and the same, and that this message came as after he had crossed over. Do you know something about that?
You know, it's interesting. I was looking at the Balducci papers from the Vatican just today. It's very fascinating. Everyone out there will be happy to understand that they have basically said, yes, extraterrestrials exist. Other planets are inhabited. They are another life form, but they have bodies and therefore travel in craft. They are different than angels and different than spiritual guides who no longer have bodies by choice and who operate in the spiritual realm. So I have that pretty clear in my own mind. Extraterrestrials are bodily forms, and I think rather superior to us, but the guides and the angels without bodies.
Shirley, what a tragedy, losing Dr. John Mack.
That was a real tragedy, and you know what was interesting about it, George? He died in London, stepping off a curb, hit by a drunk driver. The same day, another John Mack was hit by a drunk driver stepping off a curb.
Gee. Well, you know, you write a lot about synchronicity in saging, and it's there.
It really is. It's a very, it's a subject really worth studying, and I went into a lot of research and thanked Frank Joseph for him helping me on this, because he's done most of the erudite research on synchronicity. This was something the Etruscans studied deeply in their civilization, and it's just there all day. I would recommend everybody keeping a journal of synchronistic events so that after a while you begin to understand we are all one and we are probably guided. And those guides must work together. So just, you know, if you might think it's nothing that you thought of someone you hadn't thought of for a year or two and suddenly the phone rings and it's them. Those kind of things are happening in our lives every day, and it's important to recognize it.
Just this past Monday, a group of military officials, pilots, held a news conference at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., demanding the government start reinvestigating UFOs, open up these Project Blue Book files, and start disclosing to all of us what has been going on. Mm-hmm. Maybe we're making inroads, Shirley.
I think we are, and I think that military intelligence, NSA, whoever they are, they can't tell me they haven't been interested in investigating these phenomena with UFOs for years. They just say they're not. But I think that they're waiting for our response mechanisms. They're waiting to see how we would react to this sort of thing. And, you know, from those that I've talked to who have had contacts, not just Billy Meyer and others, but the others that I talked to who were patients and worked with John Mack, those extraterrestrials who are watching the mess we're making of this Earth cannot karmically interfere unless a real cataclysm is about to occur as a result of our bad behavior, and that would affect them in the cosmos, and then they'll step in.
So you think if someone's ready to push that button, that horrible button, they might step in?
Yes, I definitely. Well, I've been told by all my contacts they will not step in if we get involved with biochem. They will step in if we are close to the nuclear button. Now, what our people do, what our intelligence is, I mean, France released all their extraterrestrial files about a month and a half ago. Russia's in the process. Brazil has done it. Mexico, I think, aren't they? Well, it happens every day on the front page.
Oh, it's huge in Mexico. You're a friend of Paul Hellyer, the former defense minister in Canada.
Right. He's writing a book now about it, because what he's worried about is the American weaponization of space. And it's ridiculous to think that we can somehow fight and win these extraterrestrials. That's ridiculous.
No, there's no way.
But he maintains, of course, George, that this whole point is they want to sustain the military-industrial complex. And he also was very aware, and we discussed this about 2 weeks ago because I was in Canada, the Operation Paperclip. You know about all that.
Yes, absolutely.
And when we look at the devolvement of what's occurring, we had the communists, we've got the terrorists, I guess next to the asteroids, and then last on the list for us to be afraid of so that we will sustain the military-industrial complex of the extraterrestrials. It's all following script.
Let's go to our wild card line. Where are you calling from? You're on with us.
Allentown, PA. How are you?
Good. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Cheryl.
Hi.
Lifetime fan over here.
What?
Lifetime fan over here.
Thank
I have
you.
Two questions.
Sure.
Do you ever think about producing, you know, a UFO film? And starring in one,
well, sure.
And or could you actually talk to someone at Paramount and ask why they're hiding the film about Betty and Barney Hill? They won't release it on video or DVD.
I didn't know they had a film. Who directed it?
James Earl Jones produced it, I found out. He was in it with Estelle Parsons.
How old is it?
A wonderful film in 1975.
Oh, I see. Oh, my God. Maybe it's just not very good. I've found that it's very, very hard to get a good metaphysical script done without proselytizing And, I mean, look at the War of the Worlds, Tom Cruise last thing. That was terrible. And I haven't been able to write anything or conduct anything to be written better than The Close Encounters of the Third Kind. But that was really basically about the people and their lives before they got to the Devil's Mountains. So it's hard to write a very good script, particularly on this subject.
How was it like working with Hitchcock? I loved Trouble with Harry.
Oh, my God. You must be old, too. It was terrific. He was a very iconoclastic, black-spirited guy.
1955, your first movie, wasn't it?
54. Mm-hmm.
Time flies, surely.
Yeah, it does. Okay, well, I'll check into that script and see what's happening.
Okay, first-time caller line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello, George. Hi, it's an honor to talk to you. You've been keeping me up way past my bedtime.
Well, that means we're doing our job.
Yeah.
Or go to bed.
Well, I can't because I'm listening to this. I have a question. Mm-hmm. One of your co-stars in Terms of Endearment, Jack Nicholson, mm-hmm. I was wondering if you had ever had a conversation on the paranormal in any form at all and what he thought about it, because you never hear anything about Jack and his personal thoughts or anything. He's such a mega superstar, but he never really says anything.
He is paranormal, my dear.
Really?
He probably is an extraterrestrial, so why should he talk about it?
Do you still talk to him?
Yeah, I'm going to see him next Thursday.
Wow!
Yeah.
Oh, that, wow. So what does he think?
I'll tell him.
As long as he's not like the guy that he portrayed in The Shining, is he?
He can be. This is nobody to fool around with when he gets mad. No, no, no. He is. He has a serious streak of anger.
I've got friends who go to the Lakers games every once in a while, and he's always there. Loves them.
Sure he does.
Loves them. I think, the last caller that called about the James Earl Jones portraying Barney Hill, my data shows that this thing was released in 1975 called the UFO Incident. I think it was aired.
Maybe it was. I really don't know, George. I can't remember back that far, so I have no idea. It was a very good story. I don't know if the script was any good or not.
Wild card line, you're on with Shirley MacLaine on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Oh, hi there. My name's Sue, and I'm calling from Vancouver, B.C.
Hi, Sue.
Hi, and I'm also a big fan. Shirley, I caught your show at the Tottenham Theater, 1990 in London. I went there by myself to see you. A long time ago. I have a question. It's a bit of a spiritual life question for you, and I think you might be the right person to answer this. Your life seems to have unfolded in a very fortunate way. You've had a lot of great things happen, or at least superficially, it seems to have happened that way. Have you ever come to a fulcrum in your life where no matter what you did and no matter how you tried, you couldn't make your life go in the direction you wanted to go?
No. Because I think I'm aligned with my destiny. When you're aligned with your destiny, you don't want something different than what you're doing. So I aligned with my destiny, I think, when I was a kid, and I just let it happen.
Shirley, you're a pretty prolific author, too. I mean, I knew you had written a few books, but I didn't know you had done so many once I got into this.
Yeah, I like to write. And I like to share what I've learned and what I'm privileged to be educated about. So that's why I do it. But you have to get away from Hollywood in order to do that. And every time I've made a picture, usually when I'm finished, I leave.
You know, John Goodman, I run into him at St. Louis all the time, does the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's here to work, and when he's done working, he's gone.
Although there's some wonderful people in Hollywood.
Oh, absolutely. I've got some great friends here. I'm sure you do, too.
Oh, yeah. I have a wonderful time with creative eccentrics. I really like those people.
West of the Rockies, you're with us. Hi there.
Hi there. My name is Jeff. I'm calling from Logan, Utah.
Yes, sir.
Last night you had a gentleman on there who gave us an awful lot of neat, very ancient prehistory type information. And what Shirley's talking about tonight and the many things that you do, is it possible that things like Stargate and Close Encounters and such things are, I won't say a conspiracy, but an organized effort to prepare the population of the Earth for the coming forth of the information about ETs on a true level?
You know, I think that these things, particularly artistic people, are usually ahead of events. And it's just a natural inclination to express themselves into the future. And we always sense something before. I'm usually 10 years ahead. And so is this creative community called writers and directors and stuff. I think that when you are like that, you can't put the brakes on what you're projecting. Conspiracy? No.
Shirley, do you think someone like Steven Spielberg, who has done some incredible movies in this area, do you think he was like ever pulled aside by some people in government and they said, okay, no, we're telling you about the UFOs. Now come out with something like Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Soften people up. A lot of people think that he has.
True.
I don't.
He hasn't told me that. Steven works from the center of his child being.
Mm-hmm.
The things that he always imagined as a child is what's kept him so prolific and kept him so imaginative. I mean, he is the enactor of imagination. Now, whether someone took him aside, why? He would do it anyway.
That's true.
Now, he does believe in these things. He said it publicly. But I don't see, I mean, he won't even listen to Paramount. Why is he going to listen to the government?
You are a champion for alternative medicine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you believe that the body can heal itself if you take care of yourself. Right before you came on, Shirley, I had a story about what's going on in a county in Maryland where they're going to fine and jail parents who don't get their kids immunized.
I know. I read about that. It's really
unbelievable.
It's appalling. It's just appalling. And I met today a wonderful healer who does a lot of hands-on healing, and he thanked me. I was in someone else's office, and he thanked me and said that he had mentioned to me every time he gave a lecture because I had helped him from being arrested so many times. And that's another reason for my going public. These people who have these talents and these healing powers that don't fit in with the natural allopathic prescribed scientific way of healing with a pill or with drugs, we have to really start respecting that and take some responsibility for learning how to heal ourselves.
The pharmaceutical lobby is so strong in this country, they, I guess, seem to force even governments to do what they want to do.
Yeah, but you know now, George, what, we've got a $2 billion a year industry in naturopathic medicine,
yeah.
So somebody's not listening to the allopathic.
So true.
And I'm involved, by the way, with the Cleveland Clinic. We're building a health and wellness center up there, and I'm very involved with those doctors. They know good and well what's going on, so they want to be a part of the vanguard of new healing.
Well, let me tell you, Shirley, you've done a remarkable job in your career. You keep it up. Saging while aging. You're saging and aging perfectly. You know that.
I don't know. I've got a lot to learn. I've got a great... Now, you know, I've got a lot to learn. You know what I'd appreciate you doing, George?
Name it.
Find out how many people would be interested in my doing seminars on this subject of saging and also teaching them everything I've learned in the field of UFO research.
Okay, we will do. I'd like to get you back when you come back to Los Angeles.
Sure.
And let's kick that around, okay?
Yeah. I'd like to know if they really want to come in. It's a two-day thing.
All right.
I've got it all planned in my head.
Okay, we'll do that. Let's kick that around first, and then I'll know how to present it to everybody.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Shirley.
Am I done?
You're done.
I can go to bed?
Go to bed.
So can that other guy who sounds tired.
Go enjoy.
Okay, thank you, George.
All right, Shirley MacLean, saging while aging. I'll be back in a moment. We're going to talk about the Vatican Observatory in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.